Congregation Eish Kodesh, Congregation Anshei Chesed, Congregation Beis Ephraim Yitzchak, Congregation Beth Shalom, Congregation Shari Tfila, the Irving Place Minyan, Kilas Beis Yehuda Tzvi of Cedarhurst, Young Israel of Yulid, are all joining this morning to begin our day with Limud HaTorah. There will be two shiurim. They're sponsored by Macha Bas Menachem Manet Aleha Shalom and Chinka Bas Alexander Mordechai Aleha Shalom. A special shout out to Julie Schreier, the Chief of Staff, the President of Yeshiva University. And the shiurim this morning, the second shiur, will be given by Professor Nechama Price, who serves on the Judaic Studies faculty in Stern College, teaching courses in Tanakh and Halacha. She serves as the director of the Program for Advanced Talmudic Studies. In addition, Professor Price serves as a Yoetz at Halacha in Englewood, Tenafly, West Orange, Livingston, and Long Branch, and regularly gives shiurim throughout the greater New York area. Our first shiur this morning will be given by Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, the director of the Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik Smicha Program at Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, as well as the Morda Asra of our neighboring Beis HaKnesses of North Woodmere. He was previously a Rebbe at Landers College for Men and a Rebbe at the DRS Yeshiva High School. As somebody mentioned this morning, Rabbi Leibowitz, he doesn't need an introduction here, thank God. But just 1 minute, Rebbe. Just 1 minute. Rabbi Leibowitz is talking about turning Saturday night into Motzai Shabbos, and I thought the most perfect words of introduction can be found towards the conclusion of the Motzai Shabbos liturgy, where we quote a Gemara Meseches Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph Amar Rabbi Yochanan B'chol Makom Sha'atem Motzei Gedulaso Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu Sham Atem Motzei Anvisanuso, where we find the greatness of Hashem that's always coupled with His humility. And certainly it's a personal privilege as well, because for the decade that Rabbi Leibowitz was at Yeshiva Slave at the DRS Yeshiva High School, I had the personal privilege of being a colleague of Rabbi Leibowitz, not only a colleague, certainly a friend and a mentor, and an exemplar of what the Gemara says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'makom sh'atamotzei gedulaso, where you find His greatness, sham atamotzei anvisanuso, that's coupled and even transcended by His humility. And so it's a great honor to hear from Him this morning, and both Rabbi Leibowitz and Professor Nechama Price are not only turning Saturday night into Motzai Shabbos, but are turning actually a Thursday into Yom Rishon. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Wolf. It's so wonderful to be here. So nice to see so many people coming to learn Torah. Rabbi Wolf, in addition to being a colleague and a friend, we were chavrusas for one summer. And I remember one time we had a difficult shaila, and we called up his father-in-law, Rabbi Willig, because he has direct access anytime. And Rabbi Willig said, "Ooh, you're with Eliyahu? Everyone wanted him, and we got him! We got him!" So it's always an honor to be able to see Rabbi Wolf and to be speaking in this wonderful shul. It's also an honor to be sharing the morning with Professor Price. I look forward to her shiur as well, the Ezras Hashem. This past Motzei Shabbos, I was sitting in my dining room with a chassan. My wife and I each have the privilege of preparing chassanim and kalos respectively for their weddings. And the problem is, in my house, I only have one office. So sometimes I'm meeting with a chassan, my wife is meeting with a kala, and we only have like one area that's sort of private and removed from the rest of the house. And when it's a choice who gets that office, obviously, my wife gets the office. So I was sitting with a chassan in the dining room, and we always warn my kids, you know, there are going to be some sensitive matters that are discussed here. So if you don't mind, just like clear away from this area, the dining room, the kitchen area. You could go hang out in your bedrooms, in the playroom, in the basement, but, you know, nowhere near the office or the dining room. And in the middle of a meeting with a chassan, it was just straight halacha. It wasn't anything too sensitive. But all of a sudden, I hear movement in the kitchen, and I turn and I see my daughter is there with a bag of what they call pizza snaps. These little, I don't know, doesn't look like anything I would ever eat. But and my daughter is taking out the toaster oven and she's preparing pizza snaps. I said, "Chani, you know, we're having a meeting here. can you clear out? She said, no, I just learned about this. I have to be eating pizza snaps now. I said, there's no mitzvah to eat pizza snaps. She said, yes, there is. My loose bone needs it. And I was a little surprised. She said, I just learned in school this week that it's very important to eat Malava Malka because it's gonna keep my loose bone strong, and I have to eat pizza snaps. So I was a little taken aback by that. I thought, but that's appropriate that I happen to have chosen the topic of turning, turning Saturday night into Motzei Shabbos for this morning. Really, all I want to talk about is Malava Malka, which I think is an interesting topic, in that it's something that takes up an entire siman of Shulchan Aruch, and we're actually going to learn over the next however long we have here an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch, and yet seems to be largely ignored. Not that if you walk down Central Avenue on a Motzei Shabbos, the stores are empty. They're not. But typically you get the sense that, and maybe I'm just being overly cynical, but you get the sense that the reason people are frequenting the stores is not because they're trying to be mahadir in the mitzvah of Malava Malka. And sometimes we just take it for granted that this is something that either we do or we don't do, and it's kedai to learn a little bit about what it's based on. As I mentioned, it's a full siman in Shulchan Aruch, which is very interesting because there's not much to say, although we'll find what to say, but there's not much in terms of actual strict halacha related to Malava Malka. First, I just want to acknowledge Bereshus Avi Mori. My father is here this morning, so one of the... Is Ima here too? No? Okay. Bereshus Avi Mori. And Ima Morasi, why not? So there's a full siman in Shulchan Aruch, but it's a very tiny siman. There's only one siv. So much so that you have to believe that the Tur in the Shulchan Aruch could have just attached it to another siv. To another siman, rather. Couldn't they have just added another sif to the siman about Shalashuddis, or to, like, that they really needed to make a whole separate chapter of Shulchan Aruch? Just to give you a sense, I'm learning now in Yeshiva University, I'm teaching Smicha students Hilchos Nida, and we're learning Siman Kuf Tzadi in Yeredeya, and Siman Kuf Tzadi has 54 si'ifin. The guys are like, we've been doing it for weeks, you know, and they're spending hours and hours a day learning for weeks, and we're just scratching the surface of what the Shulchan Aruch has to say. So that gets one siman in Shulchan Aruch. And then you have here just one little sentence that gets its own si'if in Shulchan Aruch. And it seems unusual. In fact, the Yalkut HaGershuni on the Shulchan Aruch says that the reason the Torah was koveya, a siman from Malava Malka, was in order to emphasize that even though people are not careful about it, they ought to be careful about it. And he says, and it's just like, and here's our connection to today, it's just like Su'udas Rosh Chodesh. That Bnei Adam are mezalzelin behen, that people are not careful to have a Su'udas Rosh Chodesh, and that's why Rosh Chodesh gets its own siman in Shulchan Aruch as well. In fact, they say from Rabbi Sol Mirazin that in next week's parsha we're going to read Sulam Mutzav Artsa Verosho Magia Shamaima, that Sulam is Rosh Tevos, Su'udas Levayas Malka. That even though it's Mutzav Artsa, it's been thrown to the ground by people who ignore it, they don't care about the Malava Malka, but it's Rosh Magia Shamaima. That this is something that's a very lofty thing. It's something that's a very worthwhile thing for a person to do. So today, when we're having our Thanksgiving feast, we should realize that we're all actually being mekayim a mitzvah also. Aside from Thanksgiving, we're being mekayim perhaps a mitzvah of Su'udas Rosh Chodesh. Comes out, it's actually an interesting shaila. I mean, not really related to Malava Malka, but it just can't pop into my mind right now. It's an interesting shaila. The halacha is that as I mentioned before, I'm teaching Hilchos Nida in yeshiva, so maybe this is why it's on my mind. But the halacha is that on a Yom Tevila, a woman is not supposed to eat meat the entire day. So every once in a while, someone will call me up and say, I know I'm not supposed to eat meat today because tonight I'm going to the mikveh, but it's Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, you're supposed to have turkey, right? So what am I supposed to do? Turkey is meat. We paskin, most poskim assume that that even basar from an oaf is included in this minhag. So what do I do about eating turkey? So the halacha is that if it's a sudas mitzvah, you're allowed to have meat, even if it's Leil Tevila. Like, for example, if Leil Tevila is Motzei Shabbos, so for sudas mitzvah, like Shabbos, including Shalashuddas, you're allowed to have meat, even though you're going to the mikveh that night. So does Su'udas Thanksgiving count as Su'udas Mitzvah? Certainly not. But what about if it's on Rosh Chodesh? Ooh, maybe. So maybe there's what to discuss. Maybe this year is one of the, a number of years ago, Thanksgiving came out on Hanukkah. and everyone was giving shiurim Thanksgivica. What happens when Thanksgiving falls on Hanukkah? What are the halachas that apply? None, zero. There are no halachas that apply when Thanksgiving falls on Hanukkah, except for that one, because if you serve some sufganiyot and some latkes at your Thanksgiving feast, it may turn it into Sudas Mitzvah, Sudas Chanukah, and maybe then, even a woman who's going to the mikveh that night would be allowed to partake of the turkey. So I think it happens again in 70,000 years or something when Thanksgiving will fall on Chanukah, so keep that in mind. Let's begin. The Sudas Malka is often referred to as the Sudas David HaMelech. And the reason that it's referred to as Sudas David HaMelech is, well, there are lots of reasons, al pi Torah HaNistar, that I am not at all familiar with, but apparently that's a very, very big deal in Kabbalah, that David HaMelech is associated with Sudas Malka. But there's a reason al pi Nigla also. There's a reason even in the revealed Torah that we can easily understand. The Gemara Masecha Shabbos in Daf Lamed tells us that David HaMelech was told that he was going to die on the Shabbos. That he begged the Kodesh Baruch Hu to tell him when he was going to die. So Hashem wouldn't give him too many details, but he was willing to tell him it was going to be on the Shabbos. And the Gemara says, in order to try to ward off the angel of death, David HaMelech used to learn Torah all day on Shabbos, because the Malach HaMavis has no shlita, the Malach HaMavis has no power over someone who's learning Torah. It's, I think, a well-known Agada to Gemara, Shabbos Daf Lamed. So based on that, they suggest that probably every Matzoi Shabbos, David HaMelech made a little party, that made it through another week, meaning now none of us are guaranteed to survive any amount of time. We don't know that life is going to bring 5 minutes from now. But David HaMelech knew every Motzai Shabbos he's got at least 6 more days, right? He's guaranteed that he's got another 6 more days. So probably he had a little l'chaim every Motzai Shabbos to celebrate the fact that he made it through a Shabbos. So that's al pi Nigla, maybe why Malav HaMalka is associated with David HaMelech. I'm reminded a number of years ago, my chavrusa, Rabbi Sholem Rasner, still gives a Daf Yomi Shir for many years, a very, very popular Daf Yomi Shir. He's an outstanding, outstanding teacher of Torah. And he got an email from someone that said that Rabbi Rasner is going to be here for a Shabbos soon, I think. I think he's coming next Shabbos, something like that. So he got an email from someone that said that, you don't know who I am, but I have to tell you that this fellow tells a story. He says, my father was a very successful doctor his entire life, never really had much time to learn. And then he was always hoping that when he retires, he would start Daf Yomi and he would learn a little bit. And then, even though he was too young, he didn't retire yet, but he started not feeling well. He went to the doctor and he was given a terrible, terrible diagnosis. And he was told that he has at most 3 months to live. And he decided right then and there, if I have 3 months left on this earth, I'm going to spend it learning Torah. And he started right then, he started Daf Yomi. He started to learn the Daf. And he said that we were hoping, we were in the middle of Masech HaShabbos when we started, we were hoping that he would make it through till the end of Masech HaShabbos. You know, it would be a miracle, it would be 4 months, but we were hoping we'd make it through to the end of Shabbos. And he made it to the end of Shabbos. And then, when he finished Erevin, we couldn't believe it. We made a siyum. When he finished Pesachim, we all flew to Eretz Yisrael to celebrate together, when he made it through Pesachim as well. And he said, and just recently, the fellow writes, my father passed away on Yuma Daf Pei something, Pei Beis or something, and I just want to let you know that I believe that your teaching my father Torah throughout all this time, he tells Rabbi Rasner, is what kept him alive. He said, every day, he says, me, my brother, and my father would listen to your shir, Rabbi Rasner, and then at night we would call each other up. I think one brother lived in Boston, one in Israel, and the father lived somewhere in Europe, and they would call each other up every day, and they would chazer over the daf together, the highlights of what Rabbi Rasner said in the shir. So, you know, if I got an email like that, that would be enough for me. I wouldn't look any further. That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Rabbi Rasner says, wait a second. What daf was it that he started learning the daf? I want to know what it says in that daf. It happened to have been, the fellow said it was Shabbos Daf Lamed. So he looks, but what's on Shabbos Daf Lamed? That David HaMelech decides, in order to ward off the Malach HaMavis, he needs to be learning Torah. And if he learns Torah throughout Shabbos, the Malach HaMavis will have no power over him. That was this man's first daf. The first daf he learned was Shabbos Daf Lamed. That as long as I keep learning Torah, I'll keep the Malach HaMavis away. And then he said, what was the last daf that he learned? They found his bookmark on the last daf that he did. It was a Gemara in Yuma about how a person has to prepare on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. So a person prepares for Yom Shekulo Shabbos, a person is going to prepare for Olam Haba, a person has to be well prepared in this world in order to be able to encounter the next world. So he said that was the Maisa, an unbelievable Maisa. But coming back to our topic, Malava Malka, where does it come from? So there's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara talks about it. The Gemara in Shabbos stuff, Kuf Yutes and Beis. I don't remember what I put on the Mar Makomos, what I didn't. I would imagine I put this one on. The Gemara in Shabbos stuff, Kuf Yutes and Beis. Amr Blazer. La'olam yusader adam shulchano be'erev Shabbos. A person should set his table on Erev Shabbos. Va'afal pishenu tzarech ala l'kazayis. Even if you're going to eat a very small amount. Va'am Rabbi Chanina. La'olam yusader adam shulchano be'motzai Shabbos. Afal pishenu tzarech ala l'kazayis. A person should set their table on motzai Shabbos, even though they're only going to eat kazayis. Chamin be'motzai Shabbos melugma. If a person eats, drinks hot liquid, a hot tea, a hot coffee, it's healthy on Motzai Shabbos. Eating warm bread is also healthy on Motzai Shabbos. And then the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Avo, hava abdin lebafuke shabbata, igla tilta. Rabbi Avo would prepare an igla tilta, which is assumed to be the highest quality of meat. This is Machlokes Rishonim, what it means. We know what an egel is. An egel is a calf, right? But what's tilta? So this is Machlokes Rishonim, whether it means a three-year-old calf, that's when the meat is softest and most delicious, or it means third-born. That from its mother, it's the third born, and the third born is always the best. I'm always careful to point that out. I'm the third born in my family. Third born is always the sweetest. So he prepared an igla tilta, sava achl minei chulyasa, and he would just eat the kidneys of the third born, assuming that it still had both kidneys. Ki gadal avimi berei. So when avimi his son got a little bit older, amalei lamalach lafsude kulei hai. He says, what, you're going to shech the whole animal just to eat the kidney from the animal? You have to shech the whole animal for it. So nishvu kol yisam mimali shabbata. You shechted an animal anyway on Erev Shabbos. So just, if you want to eat a kidney on Motzai Shabbos, save that kidney till Motzai Shabbos and eat it. So shavku v'asa aryeh achle. He said, good idea. And he left over the kidney from Erev Shabbos, from the animal that he shechted for Shabbos. And then a lion came and ate it. Meaning apparently there was some maila in Dafka going out of his way in preparing something special for Motzai Shabbos, not just using Shabbos leftovers. Four things emerge from this Gemara, three halachos, or at least hakpados, one might say, emerge from this Gemara as far as Malava Malka, meaning three details. It's always difficult to learn halacha from what is essentially an Agadata Gemara, because it's not really, the Gemara is not telling us halachos, it's just telling us sort of a story and what's healthy and what's not healthy. So it's difficult to derive halachos, but at least we get a sense of three things that are worthy of focusing on when it comes to Malava Malka. First is, the Gemara didn't just say prepare food from Lav Malka. How did the Gemara say? Amar Blazu Liolam Yisader Adam Shulchano. What does that mean? Apparently, it's not just about the meal. A person is supposed to set their table. The Bach writes in Simon Shin that a person should put out a nice tablecloth and set. And he says, not only a nice tablecloth, he says you should prepare a large feast, even though you're not going to eat a large feast. You're only going to eat a little bit. Yisader Adam Shulchano, set the table with as if it's about to be a huge feast. The Taz in Sivkat Nalef in Simon Shin disagrees. He says, no, you don't have to prepare food that you're not going to eat. That's ridiculous. But at least you should put out a nice tablecloth. Make it look nice that you're setting a special table. So one thing that emerges from this Gemara is that there's something about setting a table on Motzai Shabbos. A second thing that emerges from this Gemara is that apparently it's not just supposed to be food, it's supposed to be hot food. Because the Gemara tells us, dafka, hot liquids are healthy. Hot bread, healthy on Motzai Shabbos. The Marsha explains, why dafka hot food on Motzai Shabbos? So the Marsha says, Tama davar diyesh l'chaber ha-Shabbos b'sudas l'viya, b'davar chadash sh'nischami machar ha-Shabbos, mehanos menu shahaya asur bo bayom chamanu pas chama. He says, the whole Shabbos, you weren't allowed to heat things up or bake new things that are hot and fresh and warm. Because Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook. So specifically on Motzai Shabbos, when it becomes mutzer to cook, so you should specifically have something that you couldn't have on Shabbos. I know I happen to be a coffee drinker, not like a huge coffee drinker. I have one or two coffees a day, depending on how rough a day it is. But I like to drink coffee. And on Shabbos, it's very challenging, because on Shabbos, you can't really have good coffee. You know, on Shabbos, you could have coffee. There is coffee. You can't really have good coffee. So the Starbucks Via is like Hatzalah Porta. But it's very difficult to find that. Like, you can't have fresh brewed coffee on Shabbos. There may be ways to do it, but we're not going to get into that. That's maybe next time I'm invited to speak here, we can talk about that. But you can't. So Motzei Shabbos, first thing I do, usually, is I brew myself a cup of coffee on Motzei Shabbos, which guarantees that I will not sleep on Motzei Shabbos. But the idea is, maybe, that's a special kiyum, that this is dafka something I couldn't possibly have on Shabbos because of the restrictions of Bishul on Shabbos, and now I'm allowed to do it, says the Marsha. That's specifically the reason that you're supposed to have something warm on Matzah Shabbos. And then a third halacha or hanhaga that emerges from this Gemara is that apparently it's not only supposed to be Shabbos leftovers. It should be some food that's specifically for Malava Malka. And that emerges from what the Gemara said, that he had left over the kidney from the animal that he shechted on Erev Shabbos. No, that wasn't good enough. The lion came and ate it. In the drushas of the Chassam Sofer writes that the koach of the Su'uda is mashpia bracha on the entire week. So in order to be mashpia bracha on the entire week, in order to have bracha bichal and apply for the entire week, it needs to start with something that came from this week. If it was just Shabbos food, that came from last week. So you want to start with a kernel that comes from this week, and then it will expand and grow into the entire week. That's how the Chassam Sofer explains this idea. So essentially, what we've seen so far is just that the Gemara tells us that there's something. The Gemara doesn't use the term of Malka. The Gemara says that there's something about having food on Matzoy Shabbos. And we got three basic ideas out of this Gemara, three basic concepts, that it should be with a nice table, it should be warm food, and it should be new food. But the question still begs itself, and this is the entire structure of the rest of the shiur, is just going to be, why? What's it about? What's the inyan of Malava Malka? And I'm not talking on lofty levels over here. If you came to be inspired with Chassidus or whatever, you came to the wrong place. I'm just, halachically speaking, why? What is the mechayev of Malava Malka? What is the kiyum of Malava Malka? What are we fulfilling when we do Malava Malka? And I think that there are three basic approaches, many offshoots of them, three basic approaches. And I think when you study all of the discussions in Poskim, all of them, every discussion in Poskim relating to details of Malava Malka, it will come back to these three basic approaches. Meaning, time permitting, we'll go through the three basic approaches, eight nafkaminas between these three approaches. And by eight nafkaminas, all I mean is we can study any area, any issue, any detail of Malava Malka, and it will turn out to be a nafkamina between these three approaches. What are these three approaches? So number one is what we just said from the Marsha. The Marsha says that the reason we eat warm food on Motzei Shabbos is to show that now we're allowed to have warm food. Meaning it's very similar to Havdalah, that we're demonstrating, it's like they say the Maaser Rav, that the Gra used to make Havdalah on beer on Motzei Pesach. Why did he make Havdalah on beer on Motzei Pesach? To show I wasn't allowed to have beer the entire time. Now chametz is mutter. So the reason I stayed away from chametz was not because I don't like it. It's because it was a mitzvah. Now it's mutter. So now I'm going to eat that which I couldn't have. It's sort of a Havdalah as a way of showing that now I can do what I couldn't do on Shabbos itself. Another possibility, the Rambam in the 30th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Hey, the Rambam writes that a person should set his table on Erev Shabbos, even if he only wants to eat very little, and he should also be Mesader Shulchano on Motzai Shabbos, even though all he wants to eat very little. And then the Rambam adds in, Kidei Lechabdo B'Knisasa Uvi Yitziasa. Why do you set a table on Motzai Shabbos? It's a din kavod Shabbos. You're honoring the Shabbos on the way in, and you're honoring the Shabbos on the way out. Where does the Rambam quote this? He does not make a separate chapter from Lev Malka, like the Shulchan Aruch does. The Rambam has this in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos, where he has all of the halachos of Su'udos Shabbos. The Rambam apparently views Lev Malka as an extension of Su'udos Shabbos. It's like a fourth meal on Shabbos. Beis Yosef quotes from the Shibale Aleket that it's a mashal that we're malava a melech b'yitziyaso. When a melech leaves, you give him you provide an entourage to walk him out, just like you're malava him b'knisaso. Just like when someone arrives, you have a welcoming party. You also have people who walk him out and don't let him just walk out alone. And even though we are upset about Shabbos' departure, and that's why we smell b'samim on Mosai Shabbos, to comfort the Neshama Yaseira that's leaving us, to comfort us on the loss of the Neshama Yaseira, Tosfos writes Maseches Beitzah Daf Lamed Gimel. But over here, we do a su'uda to show that we're interested in extending Shabbos, that we're trying to keep Shabbos going. And we have like this fourth meal that's sort of an extension of Shabbos. So reason number two from Lev Malka is not Havdalah, but quite the opposite. Not that we're showing, look, Shabbos is over, now we're doing Motzoi Shabbos things, but quite the opposite. We're doing a Shabbos kind of thing, a Motzoi Shabbos, because we don't want Shabbos to be over. We're trying to extend Shabbos into Motzoi Shabbos. And then there's a third reason, and this is probably the most famous reason. This is one that my daughter was taught in sixth grade, that Beis Yosef writes, and she, quoting from the name of the Shibale Aleket, he quotes it, "B'sidur mefarish ever yesh ba'adam." There's a certain limb in a person's body, "Ve'eno nena ba'achila el b'motzai Shabbos," and all the food you eat the whole week somehow doesn't nourish this ever except for Motzai Shabbos. Only the food you eat Motzai Shabbos. And the Mishnah Brura adds in Sivkatan Beis that that Aver is going to be there until Tchias HaMesim, meaning even after a person's body decomposes and everything else is gone and the bones rot, that Aver remains intact. That bone, if it's a bone, that's the way some understand it. Shaar Tzion writes in Ozayin over there in the name of the El Yerabah that the idea of this Aver is that it never got Hana'ah from the Eitz Hadas, because the Eitz Hadas was an Avera that was done on Erev Shabbos. This Aver doesn't get nourished by that which is eaten at any other time except for Motzai Shabbos. So the Achila on Erev Shabbos didn't provide any Hana for this Aver, and that's why it's going to be able to withstand everything. It's never going to decompose, because decomposition of the body is only a result of the sin of the Eitz Hadas. This is all in Beis Yosef and Mishnah Brura. This is not like in deep Kabbalistic sources. This is in basic halacha sources, this idea. In the Sefer Chesed La'alafim, he writes that the placement of this bone is on the back of the head, the top of the spine, right below the Makom HaNachas Tefillin. That's where he says this Ever is, the knot in the back of the head by the Tefillin, which is interesting because, you know, the Midrashim tell us when we take Dalet Minim and Sukkah, each of the Dalaminim represent a different body part. So what does the lulav represent? The spine, right? And what's the number one psul of a lulav? Nechlecha atiyomis, if the top is split, right? So maybe that it's connected in some way over here. That this top of the spine, this aver at the top of the spine, can never break. It can never decompose, can never be crushed, can never be destroyed. Nechlukat Yomis is possible. I don't know, just a thought. It could be right, could be wrong. So, okay, now that we have our three approaches to what Lev Malka is about. Again, approach number one is the Marsha. It's like a form of Havdalah. It's a way of showing Shabbos is over, now we're on to Motzai Shabbos thing. Approach number two, the Rambam, and perhaps the Gra as well, that it's a form of extending Shabbos. And approach number three, we're just trying to take care of this luz bone, which is the way it's identified by some as a bone called a luz, and we're trying to identify it, to nourish it through the food that we're eating Matzai Shabbos. Eight nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one. What if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos? Is there a mitzvah to eat a Malav Malka? Now, obviously, you're going to. Right, meaning no one's not. But let's say you want to have cereal and milk. Should you have like Malav Malka type of food on Matzah Yom HaKippurim? So let's think for a moment. So if the idea is to nourish the luz bone, let's work backwards. So Nu, would you say Matzah Yom Kippur also? If it's Matzah Shabbos? Yeah, why not, right? Meaning if this only gets nourished on Matzah Shabbos, every Matzah Shabbos. If the idea is that we're trying to show, look, we can do now what we couldn't do on Shabbos as a form of Havdalah, moving back to the Marsha's reasons, what would you say? Yes, also. Even more so, because not only can we eat hot food now, we can eat food now, where we couldn't do that the whole Shabbos. If the idea is to extend the Shabbos experience that we just had into Motzai Shabbos, no, l'chor not. You could argue on that one, but l'chor not. Meaning, because since Yom Kippur, we didn't eat on that Shabbos, so there's no inyan of extending the Su'uda. Another nafkamina that may emerge requires a little bit of background. There is a discussion about how important it is to have Mlav Malka. The Ritva writes that it's not a chiyuv. Rabbi Yeruchim, according to Chayyadim, says it's an absolute chiyuv, perhaps even Da'oraisa, but it's certainly an absolute chiyuv. So you have this machlokas rishonim, is it a chiyuv or not? So the Mishnah Brura says in Sifkat and Beis, in Simshin, he says, sometimes we have to prioritize. What's a greater chiyuv? What's a lesser chiyuv? What's a little more? What's a little less? So the Mishnah Brura says, it's not like Shalosh Shudas. It's not as important as Shalosh Shudas, but it's still kind of important. Meaning, if you only have enough food for either Shalosh Shudas or Malav Malka, you have Shalosh Shudas, not Malav Malka. That would take priority. In the Tosefis Maisa Rav, it says that the Vilna Gaon used to be extremely makbid about Malav Malka. If his wife went to sleep on Matzoyah Shabbos before having Malav Malka, he'd wake her up. And he was a person who was careful about Ben Adam L'Chaveru, generally speaking, right? The Vilna Gaon, I think it's safe to say. But when he was sick and he couldn't hold any food down, he would force himself to eat Malav Malka. For some reason, the Vilna Gaon was very, very much connected to Malav Malka. He thought it was a very, very critical thing. So he thought it was a very significant obligation. The in Shari Tshuva and Siman Shin, he quotes from Talmidei Arizal not to do malacha other than malacha sochal nefesh until you eat Malav Malka. Meaning only malacha that's involved in actually preparing the food should be done until Malav Malka. Apparently, it's that important. Why is it that so many people aren't careful about it? So first of all, poskim have what to say, have a lot of critical words to say for people who are not so careful about Malav Malka. Prima Gadim writes, Ubavonoseinu Arabim, he says, in our many sins, and Bitzoka Itim, with the pressures of the time, Inosin King, people aren't doing Malav Malka. V'roi l'mi shechananu Hashem lasu sudim Masai Shabbos v'lechol ma'at mimena. That it's appropriate for someone who's so blessed that they have the ability, they have enough food to eat, that they should prepare a good amount of food and eat some on Matzah Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Rabbi Mein Nisarim B'Suda Zu. A lot of people aren't careful about the Suda. V'amekaimo Scharo Meruba. But someone who fulfills it will have great Schar. V'kol Yirei Elokim Mis'amtsim L'kaimo V'ochlin Kazayis. And all Yirei Elokim, people who really genuinely fear God, will push themselves in order to eat a kazayas at Malav Malka. And Rav Avadya Yosef in Yechavdas Chelek Dalet Tzim Chavhei, Umikan Tochachas Megula Le'ela She'enem Nisarim L'Kayim Su'uda Revi'is Ka'alacha. So interesting, he calls it Su'uda Revi'is. Sounds like the Rambam, that it's like an extra Su'uda of Shabbos. He says, open Musar to those who don't do it. They think that it's only a midas chasidus. But that's incorrect according to the poskim from whose mouths we live. Especially if you pay attention to what the Zohar says, that if you don't fulfill the fourth meal of Shabbos, it's as if you didn't fulfill the third meal of Shabbos. And it's quoted in the Sefer Chesed Alafim. Therefore, says Rav Avadya, "Lechein roi liyizar lekayim mitzvah sudar vias b'kol motzai Shabbos v'shomea lanu yishkon betach." And someone who listens to me can rest easy. They know that they're going to have a special zechus. So the poskim aren't so excited about the idea that people aren't careful about this. But come on, you know, if so many members of Klal Yisrael are not careful about something, there's always an inyan to be melamed zechus. We have to figure out, like, why not? What is it that people sense that they're not so careful about it? So there is a wonderful sefer that it's like 10 volumes already called Kovetz Halachos, I think it's called. Kovetz Halachos is a Talmud of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. His name is Rabbi Daniel Kleinman, who's a very chashuv, young Talmud Chacham in Brooklyn, and he was a Talmud from the Philadelphia Yeshiva of Shmuel Kamenetsky, and I don't know how much time he must have spent with Rav Shmuel to get down all of these Piskei Halacha from Rav Shmuel. He's got like 10 volumes. He must have followed Rav Shmuel around for years and years and years and asked him everything. And Rabbi Kleinman writes, so he wrote up all the Piskei Halacha of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, so he writes in his first volume on Shabbos that he writes that maybe the svara to be makel, maybe the reason, the limud zuchus on people, is based on what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Aruch HaShulchan says, let's say a person extends their shalosh shudas. They eat shalosh shudas into motzai shabbos. So he says, in that way, you could be mekayim lav malka right then and there also. Because you had shalosh shudas when you started shalosh shudas when Shabbos started. You're continuing to eat shalosh shudas after Shabbos is over. So that's your kiyum of lav malka. And he says he thinks that's what people rely on. By having a late shalosh shudas, obviously this only works if you eat shalosh shudas. It also obviously only works if you eat shalosh shudas late. So Rav Shmuel said it doesn't have to be so late. You could be make like the shittos that Tzeis HaKochavim is earlier. You don't have to assume a very late zman for Tzeis HaKochavim. You could be make an earlier zman for Tzeis HaKochavim. Earlier than you would be comfortable doing malacha, right? You can assume that you're already fulfilling the mitzvah of Malav Malka. What about those Shabbosos? You know, there are certain times they announce in shul at shalosh shudas. For those who eat shalosh shudas in shul, for those who can stomach it, so they announce in shul, everyone should stop eating by whatever, and they announce a time. Why would they ever do that? When do they do that? So if motzai Shabbos, but not Shabbos, is Rosh Chodesh. So again, Inyan Diyamot Rosh Chodesh. If motzai Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos isn't Rosh Chodesh, so it's a big shaila what to do when you bench. Right? Because what are you going to do? You're going to say Ritzei because it's a Suda Shabbos. But by the time you're benching, it's already Motzai Shabbos, it's already Rosh Chodesh. So you say Al Yabba. But Rosh Chodesh wasn't Shabbos and Shabbos wasn't Rosh Chodesh. So how could you say both? It's a Tarti Tisasri. So what do? If you ate part of that meal on Rosh Chodesh and you ate part of that meal on Shabbos. So typically what they recommend, Mishmur recommends, being Machmir, to stop eating by Shkia. And if you finish eating by Shkia, then the entire meal was only a Shabbos non-Rosh Chodesh meal, then you wouldn't say Alav Yavo, you'd only say Ritzei. Yeah, but if you do that, then you cannot be Yotzei Malav Malka at that time. But I think anyway, and this was a long-winded way of getting to Nafka Mina number two, anyway, I think Rosh Shmuel is making an assumption of what the purpose of Malav Malka is. Why? If we assume that it's its own Chiyuv Su'uda of a way of being Mechabit Shabbos on its way out, like the Rambam says, and like the Gras says, l'chora, just extending Su'udah Shlishis won't work. Meaning the way to be mechabed is by giving it a special livui, by giving it a special entourage to walk it out. That means a separate Su'udah. If it's because we're trying to express that it's difficult for us to leave Shabbos, and that we don't want Shabbos to end, oh, okay. So then maybe by extending shalosh shudas, we're showing even more that it's difficult for us to leave Shabbos because we're actually keeping Shabbos going. If it's to nourish the loose bone, so what would you say? Probably as soon as this man hits, you can nourish the loose bone. You can nourish that bone that only gets fed at that time. If it's a form of havdalah, to be mavdil between Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos, it does not work. A form of Havdalah, Adrabah, I'm not making Havdalah yet, I'm still holding in Shalosh Shudas. How could that count as a Havdalah? So Rav Shmuel's making an assumption as far as what the inyan of Shalosh Shudas is. Another nafkamina, what are you supposed to eat as far as what the inyan of Malav Malka is? Another nafkamina, what are you supposed to eat at Malav Malka? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, in the name of the Magen Avraham, that it sounds from the Gemara that you should eat meat. Where did it say that in the Gemara? It said Iglatilsa. And that they would dafka eat the kidney, whatever. So it sounds from the Gemara that you should shecht an animal for it, that you should eat meat. Rav Moshe writes in Rav Moshe, Rechaim Chel Dalit, Sim Chaval, Siv Katan Dalit, that he's never seen people careful about eating meat. And Rav Moshe was familiar with many very religious Jews, and he said he's never seen that people were careful to eat meat on Motzei Shabbos. I would submit that this really depends on a person's age, whether this is a tanuk for a person to eat meat on Motzei Shabbos. That, younger yeshiva bachur seemingly have like stomachs made out of iron and are able to eat meat at all hours of the day and night. They wake up fleshig, they go to sleep fleshig, like everything. But as you get a little bit older, it's like it's hard to even imagine. Rav Sternbach and Shuvas van Hagos writes in Chaim Velazhner, paskin that it's mutter to eat meat during the 9 days from a lav malka. That it's such an inyan to eat meat, even though it's during the 9 days, you're allowed to eat meat at Sudas Malav Malka. Just like if there's a bris during the 9 days, you're allowed to eat meat at the bris. A lot of people don't realize that there's an inyan to have a fleshig bris. My oldest nephew had a bris in Neri Yisrael, when he was born, Meir Simcha, and it was a fleshig bris, because my brother was learning in the Kaila there, and I guess the minig is that they're makbid to have a fleshig bris. I remember when I was learning in Rav Shechter Shir many years ago, now I have the opportunity to chab here and there to try to get into hear his shiurim, because I'm in YU now, but when I was in Rav Shechter Shir many, many years ago, at that time, he had this cute little son who used to run around the Beis Medrash, you know, saying Mishnayos Bal Peh, collecting tzedakah, little shy Shechter. So I remember at the time, Rav Shechter said that he said that there's a minhag to have fleshig at bris, and they say that it's a big school that the kid will be a Talmud Chacham if he has a fleshig at bris. So Rav Shechter said, I don't know. My only son that had a fleshig bris was shy, and Itaka looks like he's going to be a bigger Talmud Chacham than everybody else. So that was his nevuah at that time. So Itaka, I mean, his other sons are wonderful too. But the Reb Chaim Velazhner says you could have fleshig at a bris and you could have fleshig at Malav Malka even during the 9 days. Apparently, some sort of major issue to have fleshig. According to the Rambam and the Gra, that Malav Malka is like a suud of Shabbos. And like the Gemara said, the Gemara didn't just say set a table on Matzah Shabbos. What did the Gemara say? Set a table on Erev Shabbos for your Friday night meal and also Matzah Shabbos for your Matzah Shabbos meal. Makes it sound like there's some sort of parallel. That in some way the Matzah Shabbos meal is supposed to be similar to the Shabbos or the Friday night meal. So if that's the case, then you'd understand very well why it should be a fleshig meal. But if the whole idea is to nourish the luzbone, I don't know, is the luzbone nourished specifically by meat? I don't know if we have any indication that that's true. If the whole indication is to be mavdil, to show that Shabbos is different than Motzai Shabbos, well then maybe not. Maybe dafka don't eat meat. Right? Maybe if a person avoids eating meat, it would be even better. He said the Gra was super makbid, not about meat, but about eating bread. And as I mentioned before, it says in Maaserav that when the Gra was ill and he couldn't hold down any food, he was shaking in bed because he was so sick, he tried to wake up later and crush up some bread to eat some crumbs of bread. There must be some inyan al pi kabbalah for something like that. There are other halachas minhagim also. The Gra used to dafki eat a radish from a lava malka. I'm not 100% clear or even 1% clear as to why that's dafka, something that a person should eat. Others suggest mizonos or peros perhaps could work for Malava Malka. Okay, a fourth nafkamina. Fourth nafkamina. How much do you have to eat? So what does it say in the Gemara? Kazayis, right? So says Rav Sternbach and Shuvas van Hagos, yeah, the Gemara says kazayis. B'diavad, you could eat kazayis. L'chadchila, you should eat more than a kavetza of pas, just like Sudas Shabbos. Suda Shabbos, eat kibetza, so this is just like a Suda Shabbos. L'chara, that's also nafkamina. What do you mean, just like Suda Shabbos? This isn't Suda Shabbos, this is Malava Malka. So if it's just to feed this one little aver called the loose bone, maybe it doesn't need a kibetza of pas. Maybe it's just one out of, how many evarim does a person have? Ramach evarim, 248 evarim. And all this food goes is channeled toward that one aver, so it needs 1/248th of whatever amount of food a person needs. Yeah, it's a tiny little aver. So you would think it needs very little. So maybe there's no need to eat a kibetza. But if it's an inyan of Suda Shabbos, then l'chora, Rav Sternbach is right. Just like Suda Shabbos, you should have kibetza, really you should have Suda Shabbos, you're extending Shabbos, you should have kibetza at this meal as well. If it's an inyan of Havdalah, it could really go either way. Nafkamina number 5. What's the ideal time to eat Malav Malka? You know, what happens? A person on Motzai Shabbos has some sort of activity. They go to see a movie, or they go to a shir. Okay, let's say a shir. They go to a shir on Motzai Shabbos, and by the time the shir is over, it was such a fascinating shir that they stayed to ask the rabbi questions afterwards and to talk and learning with everybody else. And it's already past Chatzos HaLaila. At the time, you know, it's one of these late Shabbos, not this time of year, it's like summertime. And it's already past, is it too late? Did you miss out on your opportunity of Malav Malka? Is it better to just like right after Havdalah, sit down and have Malav Malka then? By the way, there's one night of the year that it does seem to be best to do that for sure, that in Poskim they talk about that, and that is on Motzai Shabbos of Sukkot. Why? Because where do you say Havdalah on Motzai Shabbos of Sukkot? You say Havdalah in the Sukkah. Do you say Elisha B'Sukkah or do you not say Elisha B'Sukkah? I don't have Havdalah, so the post can recommend avoid any suffix, have a Suda right then. Right? So have your wine for Havdalah, and then have a Suda right then, and then you know that you can say Elisha B'Sukkah. But typically speaking, is there an Indian of doing it later or earlier? So the Mishnah Berurah says, better to be makdim the su'udah as early as possible. Samach liyitzias haShabbos. The Eishal Avram mipachach, or Avram Dovin mipachach, writes that if you didn't eat Malav Malka at night, you could even do it the next day. You could eat Malav Malka on Sunday. And then he says, you know what? Maybe if you forgot it on Sunday, you have up until Tuesday to do Malav Malka. What does that sound like? Up until Tuesday? Oh, that sounds like Havdalah. So once again, here l'chora, we have enough kamina. If the idea is an Indian of Havdalah, so I understand very well that it might even extend until Tuesday. If the idea is that the loose bone only gets nourished on Motzai Shabbos, so then it should have to be on Motzai Shabbos. It shouldn't extend any time after Motzai Shabbos. If it's to show that Shabbos, it's difficult for us to say goodbye to Shabbos, l'chora, it would depend on what your other activities are. If you've already said goodbye to Shabbos 1,000 times because you watched, you know, Frozen 2, and you pre-gamed by watching Frozen 1 to remind yourself of the plot, you've now had hours and hours and hours. One of my children may have done that last night, but you have hours, not identifying whether it was a son or a daughter. You have hours and hours and hours of since Shabbos is over, where you're doing vachadika things, you're doing weekday things. So you're really showing that you're trying to extend Shabbos? So l'chor or not. So then it may depend on that also. So that was nafkamina number 5. Nafkamina number 6. Are women obligated in Malav Malka? What would you think? Should women be obligated in Malav Malka? My sixth grade daughter definitely learned in Tag, yes. Right? That's one thing I know for sure. So, you know, before you argue on a sixth grade Mori, you better be sure of yourself. Right? So, what would you say?
If it's the luz, then yes.
Mistama, they have a luz bone also. Right? That's not one of the differences between male and female anatomy. We don't know what this luz bone is, but mistama, women have a luz bone as well. So if it's a luz bone, yes. And? If it's an extension of Shabbos, or women obligated in Shabbos, yes. Women have to keep Shabbos. Right? So if it's an extension of Shabbos, it would certainly seem to be that the case. What's our other possibility? Havdalah. Are women obligated in Havdalah? Machlokas Rishon, whether women are obligated in Havdalah. Right? The Shulchan Aruch recommends that since we have Machlokas Rishon, whether women are obligated in Havdalah or not, that a woman should hear Havdalah from someone else. Just in case she's not obligated in Havdalah, then it's going to be a Bracha Levatalah. So that's why it's always best to hear Havdalah from someone else. So if you have someone who's an Almana, or a woman who's divorced, a woman whose husband's away, so someone should come to the house and say Havdalah for her. Right? That's always best, ideal. What if she doesn't have access to someone to say Havdalah for her? No one thought of her? No one thought of the idea of going over to say Havdalah for her? So then what does she do about Havdalah? So then, really, we paskin she's obligated in Havdalah. So she should say Havdalah. But it's at least the Machlokas Rishonim whether women are chayiv in Havdalah. Prima Gadim writes that women are chayiv, whether women are chayiv in Malav Malka, depends. And he says it straight out. He says, if it's about being Malav of the Shabbos Malkas, he says, maybe they're not chayiv. Why would they not be chayiv? He says, because Why are women chayiv in three meals on Shabbos? By the way, women are chayiv in three meals on Shabbos, not just two meals. Just like men are chayiv in three meals, women are chayiv in three meals as well on Shabbos. There's a discussion in the Rishonim why women are chayiv in the meals of Shabbos, in Suda Shabbos, in three meals of Shabbos. One possibility is that the three meals of Shabbos are done zecher leman. We're recalling the man that fell. And the double portion. So we have three meals. It says Hayom three times in the Parsha Saman. So Zecher Leman, we have three meals on Shabbos. And if that's the case, women benefited from the man as well. Af hein hayu ba'os ha'anes. And that's why women are chayiv in Shalosh Shabbos. The other possibility is, no, why are women chayiv in Kiddush on Shabbos? Women are absolutely chayiv midoraisa in Kiddush on Shabbos. Why? Because In one version of the Aser Sedibros, it says Zachar Siyam Shabbos Kacho. The other says Shomer Siyam Shabbos Kacho. Shomer means not to do malacha, which obviously women are chayvin because it's a lo sase. Women are chayvin all lo sases. Zachar means to do kiddush. So Kol Sheyeshlo B'Shomer, who's ever included in Shmira Shabbos, is also included B'Zachar in Zechira Shabbos. So some of the Rishonim say, yeah, it doesn't just mean Kiddush. Zechira Shabbos means all the mitzvahs asay of Shabbos. And that includes Suudos as well. So it's a Machlokes Rishonim why women are Chayiv in Shalosh Shudas. That women are Chayiv in Shalosh Shudas, that there's no Machlokes. Except there's one tshuva in Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote these beautiful, long, long tshuvas. He was a very prolific writer. And someone realized at some point that no one was reading his very long tshuvas because they're so long. So someone decided to put together a sefer of abridged versions of 1,000 of his tshuvas. They took 1,000 tshuvas from Shlomo Kluger and just made them like a paragraph long. And they put out a little sefer and they called it Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo. Right? That these are the 1,000 abridged versions of tshuvas from Shlomo Kluger. So in Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo, and probably in a longer tshuva somewhere also, but I never read it, in Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo, Shlomo Kluger writes that maybe there's a justification for why so many women don't eat Shalosh Shudas. Because the opinion that says Afin Ha'yibos Ha'anes obviously rejects the idea that women, that part of Zechira Shabbos is Shalosh Shudas. And the opinion that says that Zechira Shabbos is part of Shalosh Shudas obviously rejects the idea that Afin Ha'yibos Ha'anes applies to the man. So maybe one could say, I hold like the opinion that says it's Zechira Shabbos, in that I reject the Afin Ha'yibos Ha'anes. And I hold like the Afin Ha'yibos Ha'anes opinion, in that I reject the Zechira Shabbos opinion, so I therefore have a third opinion that women aren't chayiv at all, because I reject both possibilities. So Rav Avadya Yosef writes, that's a joke. I mean, you can't really say stuff like that. Meaning, if all Rishonim agree that there's a chiyuv, and they argue about why there's a chiyuv, you can't say, oh, if they're arguing about why there's a chiyuv, maybe there's no chiyuv at all. So women are chayiv in three meals of Shabbos, but they shouldn't be. Meaning, the default position should have been that mitzvah shazman grama, women are pata from mitzvah shazman grama. So really, they shouldn't be. But there's some limud to be mechayiv. Rabbi Savlovsky Shlita once said that he asked the guys in the shir, how many mitzvah shazman grama do you think there are that women are pata from? So one guy said, 10,000. He's like, okay, let's start with this. There are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Only 248 of them are mitzvahs asay. Okay, now, how many mitzvahs shazman? There are six, maybe, depends on how you count them, that women are actually pater from. There are more exceptions to rule than the rule, but maybe Malava Malka is really just a mitzvah shazman gram. And it's not included in either of those drushos that are mechayiv women in three meals of Shabbos. So l'chora, it would depend on that issue. Kaf HaChaim says it's dafka, a special skula, for women to have Malav Malka. And what's the best way to get women to do something? You tell them that it's a skula for easy labor. Oh, easy labor. Okay, so then certainly younger women are going to be makbid to have Malav Malka. And then they'll continue to have Malav Malka in the zchus of their daughters and daughters-in-law having an easy labor and their granddaughters having an easy labor. So that's what the Kaf HaChaim writes. There are other, we got through six of the eight nafkaminas, not so bad, but just to quickly tie it all together, to quickly review, that we said that there is an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch that tells us that a person is supposed to have Malav Malka, and the Acharonim suggests that this siman is there to highlight its importance. We suggested three ideas that emerge from the Gemara about Malav Malka, that it should specifically be setting a table, hot food, and new food. We suggested that there are three possible reasons for Malav Malka, either a form of Havdalah, a continuation of Su'udos Shabbos, or feeding the Luzbone. And we suggested many, many nafkaminas between these different reasons, whether Matzah Shabbos Yom HaKippurim, how great of a chiyuv is it, can you be yotzei during Shalosh Shudas if you extend your Shalosh Shudas, and many, many other nafkaminas. But the idea, I think, of Lav Malka that we're supposed to take away from all of this is that whenever a Jew does anything, many of us will be eating, as I said before, you walk down Central Avenue, the food establishments, Baruch Hashem, are being supported by our community very nicely on Matzah Shabbos, but sometimes the Rambam writes, you could do the same activity, and if for one person it's a mitzvah, and another person doing the same activity, it's not a mitzvah at all. And it all depends on our kavanah. If a person is just doing it because they want to be gluttonous, they want to eat more, that's not a mitzvah at all. But when we're mechavein all of our actions, l'shem shemayim, and we specifically focus on serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, even something like this, eating a nice meal on Matzah Shabbos, or eating just something small, a kazayis, a little something on Matzah Shabbos, having kavanah l'shem mitzvah could be this very great mitzvah that is an entire siman of Shulchan Aruch. Everyone should have a wonderful day. I look forward to Professor Price's presentation.